All right, everybody. In this episode, I was lucky enough to sit down and have a chat with Clarissa from the Brisbane Family Law Centre and Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. Now, if you are an Australian and you're listening right now and you've listened to maybe a few podcasts in the legal industry, then you're probably quite aware of Clarissa. Now, I know many of you are listening to this podcast in other countries and maybe some of you aren't aware of what she does. So I'm going to let you know all about her. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown about what Clarissa does, and then I'll run through what to expect in this episode and what sort of talking points we go over and what we talk about, and then we're just going to get into it. So Clarissa, let's talk about Clarissa. So on one hand, she's an accredited family law specialist. She's a mediator. She's a collaborative lawyer, but she's also got this side hustle called Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. Now, I've stolen this bit straight from her LinkedIn or her website, but this is the best way to summarize it. It's essentially a knowledge center for lawyers who want to make the best of their life in and outside of the law. So she's got a website called Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. Now, so she's a podcaster. Many of you have probably listened to her podcast. It's got over 200 episodes and it's incredibly successful and popular. She's also the author of two books the last time I checked. She's a speaker. She runs a private Facebook community of lawyers. It's called The Club. And this is essentially where like-minded people get together and sort of, I guess, help each other build a business and life that, I guess, aligns with their values. I hope that's a good way of explaining it. But if you really want to know about it, you really should be checking out The Club and see for yourself. There's retreats that she runs. She's got one-on-one coaching. She's got group coaching. She's got several social media platforms. Her Instagram has over 5,000 followers. She's got email marketing. She's involved with she's got online courses for lawyers on her website. I noticed there's even an online store where you can buy planners and you can get calendars and brooches with really, you know, funny, you know, things on them. You just got to go and check it out. Check out the website after you listen to this episode. She's also a mother, she's a wife, and somehow she found the time to speak with me today. So I'm very grateful to have her on the podcast today. Now, what can you expect? So just quickly, I couldn't help but ask her to run me through a day in the life and sort of how she spends her time. And she explained that basically every day is a bit different. So she ran me through at least one day, which was really helpful because she does so many different things. So couldn't help but be a bit curious about that. She explains what type of marketing has worked really well for her law firm. So we talk about social media marketing quite a lot. We talk about SEO, Google Ads, having a great website, and a few other things as well. We go into more depth about her Instagram marketing strategy and why it's a bit different from what some other law firms are doing. We sort of talk more broadly about her approach to social media. We talk about sort of how everything fits together with all the things that she's doing, how everything, you know, works with the family law firm that she runs and the side hustle, Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. So the strategy and I guess the overarching plan there. We go into a lot more, but essentially, if you want to learn more about Clarissa and you want to listen to an open, honest, and fun conversation about, you know, her approach to marketing and business, then I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. So before we dive in, though, as usual, I'll just let you know about the law firm marketing plan and the case study. I've got two PDF downloads. If you go to legalsites.com.au, you can grab the law firm marketing plan and the case study. Okay, those are totally free, so go and grab them. Now, if you want to support the podcast, please consider leaving a review, subscribe, and maybe tell a friend or two about the podcast. If you've got ideas for future episodes, if there's sort of topics that you want me to go over, or if there are other people that you want me to bring on the podcast for a chat, then just let me know. Of course, you can just go to legalsites.com.au and reach me there, or you can just connect through LinkedIn, whatever works well for you. And finally, I just want to introduce myself properly. I'm your host, Brendan Kelso, law grad turned law firm marketing specialist, founder of legalsites.com.au, and you are listening to the Better Law Firm Marketing Podcast. In this podcast, you'll learn how to leverage the most time-efficient law firm marketing strategies to get more leads, more clients, and more profit. So that is enough of that. Let's get on with my chat with Clarissa. So how's your day been?
Yeah, it's been good actually.
Yeah, so that sort of actually conveniently just puts leads me into really the first question that I have for you, which is, you know, walk us through a day in the life of Clarissa, because, you know, you're involved in a lot of stuff. I don't know if I'm going to list it all, but there's a lot of things that you do. You're running a law practice, you run a podcast, blog, retreats, you know, social media, email marketing, mediator, coaching lawyers, all these other things you're doing. You're a mother, your wife, you're an author. I think you run a Facebook community, and there's probably a whole bunch of other things. There's an online store that I just noticed today, which is pretty cool, where people can buy stuff on your website. So what's a day look like for Clarissa?
I'll just do today, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Because every day is similar and different. So I have two kids. The favorite part of my day is the morning when we wake up, and my life is nothing like those movies where children are angels and they sleep in their own beds and their parents look amazing when they wake up. So my mornings usually start at 5 a.m. with my two-year-old bashing me on the head, saying, "Wake up, mummy."
Okay.
And what she's great at is she'll then say, "Let's go make coffee." It's like my favorite thing. So she makes my coffee in the morning in the plunger, and then we sit in bed for the first hour together. And I don't know, I just hang with the kids in the morning. So they'll be usually watching something on their iPads or whatever it is, and we'll be chatting and I'll be clearing emails, and that's how I start my day. And it's my favorite time of day every day, and we usually spend an hour doing that. I leave home at 7:30 to go to work, and I work like hard. So when I'm at work, anyone that knows that's tried to set up a coffee catch up with Clarissa or a lunch with Clarissa, I don't do that. So when I go to work, I go to work. And today I've had a real mishmash of things. So I'm running a workshop this afternoon for a couple of hours. I was just doing a mediation intake for a family that I'm mediating for on Tuesday. I've been doing some client work in amongst all of that. And I think that's one of my strengths, is that I can just move from my different roles and headspaces really quickly. And that's just how I do it. So I don't have sort of a structure where it's on Tuesdays I do this and on Wednesdays I do that. And I can't as a family lawyer because of the nature of the type of work that I do. I do a lot of work acting for children in the court system. And so that means that I will have court appearances, and you can't say to a court, "Oh, sorry, I don't do court on Tuesday." you've just got to roll with it. And I think that's been one of my strengths in terms of the many different things that I do, is I get a lot of energy and joy from moving between the different parts of my life now as a lawyer. And yeah, and that's cool.
So considering how many things you have going on, I can't help but ask, do you have an army of personal assistants?
I currently don't have a personal assistant. I've tried a couple of times, and I think I've come to the conclusion that I'm actually just a really unassistable human. It's just, yeah, it doesn't work well for me or for them. But I have a great team. So I'm not really a personal assistant person, but I am a team person. And within the Happy Lawyer, Happy Life business, we have a team of four of us. And within the Brisbane Family Law Centre business, we have a team of, I think, 11 of us.
Yeah.
And then within my home, like, I consider my husband is an essential part of why I can do everything that I do. So he's part of my team. I have a nanny. I have my parents. Like, yeah, everywhere I go, I have a huge amount of support and help. And I couldn't do it without that.
Do you have one of those robot vacuum cleaners? Because I just got one of those for Christmas. They're actually pretty good.
Probably should, but no, I don't.
it's a Roomba. That's the brand, and the app encourages you to name him. So I called him Frankie, but Frankie's not very smart, and Frankie's always running into walls and constantly getting lost around the house. So yeah, my girlfriend was saying, the robots aren't going to take over anytime soon.
No, that's so true. If they can't get a vacuum cleaner to do that,
no,
they're pretty safe as lawyers for a little while.
That's it. But yeah, right. So you've got a lot of things going on. So from, I guess I'm a bit of a marketing guy, and I look at everything that you're doing, and I think, you know, what is the sort of the overall strategy, you know, like with all the things that you're doing, whether that be, you know, things you're doing at your law firm or your side hustle, Happy Lawyer, Happy Life, like how's it all fit together?
across the two businesses, there's a common Simon Sinek why. There's a common purpose. And I really believe that life is super short and that we should all have and give ourselves the best opportunity to live whatever we think our best life is. Mm-hmm. And we use that phrase across both of our businesses. So in Brisbane Family Law Centre, we're a niche practice where we really help people stay out of court, find amicable solutions, have a graceful, dignified separation. Mm. And those sorts of people are trying to navigate a really horrible time in their life to then be able to go on and find whatever their new best life is. And mm-hmm. that's the theme that sits there. Through Happy Lawyer, Happy Life, it's actually the same. You know, the work that I do there is with lawyers, usually on their businesses, on their careers in law. And with the same theme at the heart of it, this, you know, genuine sense that with purpose and strategy and thought and time and energy, you can build a life in the law that has at the heart of it success and happiness in a well way, whatever that means for you, because we're all different. Mm. So that's the link for me in terms of the why that sits underneath both businesses. Everything I do is very strategic. I really don't, you know, do anything without some sort of strategy behind it. And even if that strategy is, here's an idea, I actually have no idea what this will do. And my strategy is just to test this and see what comes of it. For me, that's still a strategy that I will often implement when it comes to, say, social media marketing, or it might be a new product idea, or it might be a new course, or whatever it is. Like, I really love creating. And so I think in part that's, again, been one of the things that I've really enjoyed. I get energy as well now from having both businesses. So I think what enables me to stay a practicing technician as a family lawyer is the capacity to flip out of that role half an hour later and do some coaching with someone around their career. Or this afternoon I'm running a workshop that is all about planning out your law firm for the next 12 months. And so, again, that's a really enjoyable thing for me to be doing on a Friday afternoon. So it's that diversity that I think enables me to keep doing it all.
Yeah, cool. So how have your efforts at Happy Lawyer, Happy Life, how have they actually impacted your law firm? Or are they just sort of relatively sort of separate from each other?
I think they're linked and they're separate. So they're two separate businesses. They now function as two separate businesses and they, you know, they exist and are financially viable as two very distinct entities. But, you know, my brand in Happy Lawyer, Happy Life and my connections within our industry drives a whole lot of work into Brisbane Family Law Centre. Mm. So the two connect in that sense. Much of what I teach as when it comes to, say, business skills, law firm, marketing, I do a lot of teaching now in fixed fee pricing. They're all things that we've implemented in our law firm. So I take all of the IP from BFLC and I'll test things there and then I'll roll that out as, let's say, a training program or as part of my masterminds or whatever I might be running over in Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. So they're, you know, they're linked and they're separate, I guess, in so many different ways.
So have you primarily received referrals from other legal practitioners from your, you know, your exposure at Happy Lawyer, Happy Life to the law firm, or have you gotten, you know, direct clients to the law firm or both? Or
Both. So, you know, I've had part of why I'm here talking to you about marketing, I've had a pretty strong marketing presence for the 12 years that I've run this firm now. Mm. And I love marketing. So that's, again, an easy thing for me to do. It's a really fun thing to do. And I've particularly loved online marketing, social media marketing. Yeah. So we get a mix of leads into the law firm, but certainly one of the drivers of the people coming into the firm are referrals, and having those connections within the broader legal industry has been really helpful in that sense.
Yeah. So for I have a few people listening to this now who are family lawyers. So like you can probably talk forever about this, but if someone really had to prioritize their social media like platforms, what do you think, which platforms do you think are best for family law firms?
The human ones. So I would still say Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
For me, they've been the most successful. Yeah. Right now, ironically, Instagram is my most successful platform. Mm-hmm. But again, it does depend on what sort of family law firm you are and what sort of client within the family law space that you're trying to connect with. But, you know, by and large, founder law firms are trying to connect with people who are going through relationship breakdown. And so therefore platforms where you are able to talk to the individual, and I find Facebook, Instagram, I think will continue to be the most successful for a while anyway.
Okay. Like, what things have worked well for you on Instagram for the law firm?
I just have a really consistent approach on Instagram through my own personal brand. So I don't have – we have a law firm handle for Instagram that we haven't used for 3 years because the decision I made was that we were getting so much more engagement and reach through my personal platform and my other solicitor here, Kiara Kelly, she is really active as well on Instagram and very successful on that platform as well. So it's more beneficial for us to operate as individuals on that platform than as law firms. And we're just consistent. So the two of us are consistent. We're present on the platform on a daily basis. I will share snippets of either my life as Clarissa the lawyer, life as Clarissa the mother, life as whatever crazy craft project I've got going on the weekend. I'm just a human being. And from a marketing perspective and a modern day marketing perspective, what Instagram is enabling me to do is allow potential clients across both of my businesses to know, like, and trust me before they've even met me. And that's the benefit, I think, of these online platforms is when you invest the time and energy into them, they do all of your sales and marketing for you without you there every day having, you know, half-hour conversations with people trying to persuade them about why you're the right coach or why you're the right family lawyer or mediator or whatever it might be that they're looking for. So that is all done for me prior to the person reaching out to me. And usually if it's an Instagram type situation, it'll be a message on Instagram or it'll be an email saying, I follow you on Instagram and XYZ. The other thing that has become apparent lately for me that I've been interested in is, again, with Instagram, there's a number of women that I have had meetings with in the past in terms of their family law matters, and they're in that sort of thinking stage. Am I leaving? Am I not leaving? What am I doing? What's going on? And a couple of those women have been following me on Instagram and they'll just message and stay in touch. And I find that a really interesting thing, and again, in terms of marketing, because in essence, you're able to stay in touch with someone who's a potential customer of your business, but in a really kind and soft and not salesy way whatsoever. You're just there still front of mind.
Do you sometimes encourage your coaching clients, especially if they're in the family law space, to maybe you know, focus more on their personal profile on Instagram, and, you know, maybe if there's some embarrassing photos, get rid of those, and then, you know, go public so people don't have to, you know, send a follow request and build the personal brand and market the firm that way?
I am a fan of personal brand on platforms like Instagram over business brand in the family law space. And again, it's, you know, it's different, isn't it? Depending on what your goal is, where you're working, what you're trying to do, who you're trying to reach, all of these things. But yeah, I do think from, and my own experience has been, people are much more likely to engage with a person on a platform like Instagram than they are a brand.
Yeah.
And they want to see, I want to see, you know, I'm an Instagram addict from way back. So I want to see the humans behind the business. So even the businesses that I follow, I want to know the name of the people in charge of them. And I want to see them in their photos or their videos or their stories or whatever they're doing. And I think that is a really important thing. Something that people need to know about me is I don't have a secret Clarissa personal social media presence and then a here I am business presence. Like there is no secret Clarissa presence anywhere. The decision I've made with social media is, for me, it is all business. There is no secret human life hiding on social media.
So I
have found it has been easier for me to just go, this is a business activity. I get joy out of it. I have a lot of fun with it. It's my creative outlet, but I'm not sort of having a secret life as this person and then here I am with my public profile. I just have one profile, and that has made it manageable for me.
Great. So you've said that you're getting some clients through the law firm from, you know, word of mouth referrals through Happy Lawyer, Happy Life, and you've been pretty successful in social media. Have you done much with SEO and Google Ads, or focused more on other areas?
Definitely SEO. And I did use Google Ads probably 3 years ago now for a period of time. And, you know, I'm an advocate for Google Ads. They're really powerful. It's like a tap that you can turn on and turn off. The challenge I find with Google Ads is they're not always the cheapest way of getting clients. And there isn't necessarily that same fettering of clients or customers or calls or emails or whatever it might be. So I found when the firm was using Google Ads that you would get inquiries that may not be the right type of client for our organization. Yeah. So my preference is to not have to pay for leads in that really direct sense. And what I've really worked hard on is a very broad content marketing strategy. So that is where SEO is really important to me, making sure that our websites are structured well, that we have a strategy around content so that we're forever, you know, trying to stay on the front page of Google as such for the core search terms that matter to our businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you made some good points about Google Ads. Like I'm not surprised that a lot of law firms out there have those issues. When you sign up for Google Ads these days, generally they get you on a very basic, I guess a very basic version of Google Ads with limited options, and that's like the default view, and you need to go into expert view to get all the customization that I use at the agency here. And generally they just want you to start giving them money, and they'll show your ads to people who are searching for something that's vaguely similar to what you might be offering. And unfortunately, unfortunately, a lot of the time, that's not going to be exactly a good match for the law firm. Like if you're, you know, there's broad match, phrase match, and exact match, and they'll generally set the default to broad match. So basically, if someone's searching for, you know, a law firm, what's a better example? If someone's, for example, looking for legal aid, okay, that's broadly similar to a family law firm that doesn't offer that. So those ads could show up, and someone might click on your ad thinking that you offer legal aid and you don't. And for family lawyers, the cost per click can often be quite expensive, and you've lost a click because Google Ads likes to, you know, they want to make it really easy for people to start Google Ads. And unfortunately, you know, that's the side effect is sometimes people end up just paying for, you know, the clicks they don't want. So, I think, I really want to hear more about your coaching. So this side hustle, happy lawyer, happy life. So like, what sort of people are coming to that brand? What problems do they have? You know, how do you help? What products and services do you guys offer them?
Yeah. So
that's how long is that going to take?
How do I not that
after I said it, I'm like, oh man, that's she's got a lot of things that she offers. So no, I think we all want to hear all about it. So yeah.
So let's do it this way. The ideal client of
That you started speaking faster.
Yeah, so fishes in. But the ideal client for most of the products that sit within the Happy Lawyer, Happy Life business brand is someone like me, someone who is running usually a small-ish law firm or certainly a leader within a law firm and is looking for ways to grow their knowledge around business and how they run their law firm and how they look after themselves, and within all of that, how they manage their team, all of these sorts of things. So the central, if you're looking at the funnel as such, the product funnel that is the Happy Lawyer, Happy Life business, you've got at the top of it, the free content, the podcast, Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. I've written a book, which is the same topic, and it provides lawyers with information on how they can get more happiness into their careers and the practice of law. And that book was a really enjoyable thing for me to do, some research around what does it take? How can you do this? How can you build a sustainable career? And so from the book came a course, which is an 8-week course around happiness in law. And from that course came a membership, which is called the club. And the club is probably the heart of the Happy Lawyer, Happy Life business now. The club is a pretty amazing space on the internet, I say. it is largely it's a membership site. So it's a combination of a website, but really the activity exists within a private Facebook group.
Yeah.
There's about 150 members of the club nationwide, yeah. all of whom are running small, medium, large law firms, or as I said, have leadership roles within law firms.
Yeah.
And that community has been the best thing that I've ever done in my life. And I say that because every day now I'm fed with little dopamine hits from colleagues all around the country saying something along the lines of, I've just done this and this cool thing happened as a result. Or I have this challenge and I need your help. And then, you know, 10 people will go on and say, well, look, I experienced something quite similar to that 5 years ago in my business and this is what I did to help with that.
Yeah.
And so having a community of colleagues from all different parts of the industry and from all different types of law and law firms has been a really powerful tool for all of us in improving our business practice and learning from each other, which is not something that the legal industry has traditionally been known for. It's more been a place of, we're successful, so whatever you do, don't tell anyone about how we do that, because then they might become successful. And we as a group of 150 have just flipped that on its head and said, well, look, we can all be more successful if we just all share our knowledge with yes. each other. And then I have a faculty of experts within the club that are not lawyers. So there'll be people from business, technology, marketing, I don't know, you know, whatever. All of the services, in essence, that lawyers need to run good modern law firms. With the club each year, we have a 2-day retreat that you mentioned earlier in the show, which is a conference usually held at King's Cliff in New South Wales, last year held online because thanks 2020, this year, who knows? But that event has again become a highlight of my sort of work life because it's just a really different conference and it is nothing like any other legal conference I've been to deliberately, because I think one of the things that we can do better as an industry is information and education. And I've never understood why things need to happen in grey rooms with black and white PowerPoints and why we can't have some music and some colour and some
vibrant
speakers.
That sounds like a lot. That sounds like too much fun.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm all about the fun and that's what I try and bring in, particularly to the Happy Lawyer, Happy Life business. So I also then have a bunch of online courses for all different parts of legal practice. And I have a mastermind that I run each year where I work pretty closely with 10 practitioners throughout the course of a year in essence, a group coaching sort of situation. And that's really powerful, the mastermind group, because again, when you pull 10, you know, high functioning, interesting people together and create an environment where they're really encouraging each other to push for some pretty cool goals. It's been fascinating to see what's come out of that, which has been really rewarding.
So what goes on at this retreat, or is that a little bit of a secret?
Secret at all. I mean, just watch Facebook and you'll see it. But
yeah.
Look, last year was obviously a bit out of the ordinary, but I was really proud of what we pulled together last year because most large-scale events just got canned in 2020. Most in the legal industry, you'd get an email saying, look, sorry, we're postponing till 2021. And as the year went on last year, I was watching the world thinking 2021 isn't some magical moment where we kind of suddenly can start doing large-scale events again on a particular date. And just this last week in Brisbane, we've had a 3-day lockdown that came out of nowhere, which was such a reminder that this thing is not past and uncertainty is a real trick for all of us. So we ran the retreat online last year, and one of my real goals in organising that event was, how do I still create the fun that you and I were speaking about before? Because when I do a tangible event, you know, I have a lot of ability to have sound and scent and light and colour and really impact how people feel by how you create space. When you're on Zoom, and particularly when you're asking people to sit on Zoom for, in essence, 8 hours straight across 2 days, it is a really tough thing to think about. How can I make sure that I've got their attention, that they're not just, I'll put that Zoom call on and I'll deal with my emails over here. Like, how do we do this? So we did a whole series of things to try and bring the tangible to the intangible. One of those was in the lead up to the event, we posted and couriered all around the country and to New Zealand, what I call pink boxes, but they're in essence boxes that were a bit like a sort of surprise pack that as the call, as the retreat went on, as a speaker spoke, they would have something in the box that tied in with their presentation. And so you sort of got to open a parcel every hour from your pink box. And so that was a way for me to try and ensure that people had something where they could still, you know, there was something fun and interesting and different going on and they weren't just watching Zoom for 8 hours, literally. And the other thing we did is at that time, so this was November last year, and there were different restrictions across the country. This was when Victoria was just coming out of its really significant lockdown and there were a lot of rules around how many people could be together in Victoria versus here in Queensland at that time that it was pretty okay. There wasn't a lot that we had to worry about. And so we got all of the different people that were involved in this event, and there was 100 participants, to come together wherever they could in little hubs, we called them. So in Melbourne, there was a hub of like 4 people. Here in Brisbane, there was a hub of about 40 people. And we just had little groups of people so that they could watch the event together still in a group. And that was a really wonderful and important thing, particularly last year, because we all lost so much community and connection during 2020 with our inability to travel or see each other or whatever it was. And so it was really lovely to see over in Perth, there's 8 people sitting together in a small room and still able to have part of what I've come to love about organising that event, even though it was run in an online way.
So let's be optimistic and assume that there'll be no restrictions on how you run the retreat. What's it going to look like?
Yeah, so we'll, if that's the case, we'll be back at Kingscliff. So we've traditionally been at Peppers at Kingscliff, which I just think is a beautiful part of the world. I grew up in northern New South Wales, so I love being down there. Yeah. Beautiful venue. It's a 2-day event that more than anything is a business conference, more than anything is about how do you build a law firm that genuinely is fitting the market, that is thinking about the future, that is built in a way that enables the people within it to be healthy, to be happy. And so that would be my ideal. At this point in time, what I'm doing, like everyone else, I suspect, is hedging my bets. So what I anticipate I may still have to do is run a combo of online and offline, which will be interesting in itself. You know, the decision we made last year was to have all online. I didn't want some people having the deluxe experience in the room and the poor others not. And this year I suspect there'll be the opportunity for the majority of us maybe to be together. But as I said, last Friday in Brisbane, we learned super quickly that things can change in a minute. So I think for anyone organising large-scale events at the moment, it's really hard, hard to plan things.
Yeah. Well, that was awesome, Clarissa. I think I've got a lot of golden nuggets out of you today. So you're a busy lady and I'm just very thankful that you actually came on the podcast. We've been talking for about 30 minutes or so now. I have to set a timer because I tend to ramble a bit. Most of my episodes, I've noticed that people sort of just kind of leave the room after 45 minutes if it goes for longer than that. So I'm not, So I think that's good. I think we've got a good length here. Is there anything that is there anything you want to promote? Is there any plug that you want to just quickly throw in there? If someone wants to say hi, how should they do that? I'll just give you the floor.
Gosh, look, I'm pretty easy to find. So if you're looking for me, you'll find me pretty much anywhere in the online world of marketing. But certainly, as I said before, Instagram at the moment is my favourite and easiest platform to use. And in terms of what am I doing, look, all sorts of things as we've spoken about. So the easiest thing is to jump on, if you're a lawyer, jump on the website, happylawyerhappylife.com. And if you're interested in our work in the legal space, then bflc.com.au.
Awesome. And I'll just throw a few links in the episode description and on my website and all that stuff. So if people just want an easy way to find you, they can just click on some of those.
Perfect.
Sweet. All right, Clarissa, thank you so much for your time.
That's okay. Thank you for having me.
All right. All the best.
Thanks.
Bye. All right. I hope you enjoyed the chat I had with Clarissa today. I've included links in the description of this episode if you want to go and check out what she does. Now, just wrapping up, just reminding you that at legalsites.com.au, you can grab yourself a law firm marketing plan and a case study. Those are PDF downloads, so just help yourself. If you want to support the podcast, please consider leaving a review, subscribe so you don't miss out on any more episodes, and tell a friend about this podcast maybe. And if you've got ideas for future episodes, feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know. Like if you've got, you know, if there's someone that I should probably have a chat with on the podcast, then tell me all about them. If there's like, you know, topics that you'd like me to talk more about, please just get in touch, or you can just head over to legalsites.com.au. So that's it. I hope you have a great week, and all right, bye for now.